at the end of the day, maybe sometimes we ask the minister to really come and share with us the state of EPS. We have highlighted, minister, a few areas that we thought that in your interaction you should touch, and I'm sure you have looked at it. But it's really an open meeting. And after your input, we will then open it up for members to interact with your report or with your presentation, and we will then take it from there. So it is 10 o'clock. I think 11:30 or so, Minister, we will then open it up for discussion. So members will just take note, and at some point we will then allow you to pose questions of clarity or otherwise to the Minister. So, having said that, we want to welcome you, Minister, and your team. Also to our friends from the media and others, as usual, you are all welcome to observe and to report. Unfortunately, you cannot participate other than the department and the portfolio committee, but you're more than welcome to our colleagues from the media and everywhere else. You're welcome. Members, we were here earlier on, we have done our own welcome as well. We were then. And I don't think there's a need for introductions unless you don't know on this side, but everybody on this side, I can show you, Minister, knows on that side, you've got media activity there. So I don't think it's necessary for us to introduce each other if you so wish. But you're welcome. We will then hand over to you, Minister, and then we will start our own engagement about your study. So you're welcome, and thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, President. Officer for the Committee on Corruption Services. Next to the member of the Portfolio Committee, the Acting National Commissioner of Corruption Services, Nancy Carlo Jolivar, CCS Senior Management, members of the media. The National Development Plan demands of all of us to work hard to are ensuring the reconstruction and development of our country. As in fact, in the Corruption Services, our chairman, our chairman. In our country, the shift towards viewing imprisonment as punishment in itself and not for punishment. The objective of correction is to re-engineer a new person who becomes a responsible citizen. On the 9th of September 2015, we are going to achieve the operation of the officer and the other non-together of the leader as the National Commission. We follow the retirement of the National Commissioner, Mr. Thomas Moyani, as the situation of the National Commission. We take a position to tie to the government and still in line with the people of the meeting and go to the president. Question 5. Provides that the term of correctional officials is regulated by the Correctional Services Act of 1959. Section 12 of 1959 provides for the retirement, resignation of the term of correctional official authority. Subsequent provision of the section, a correctional official shall have the right to retire and shall retire on the day on which he attains the age of 60 years, he will attain that age on the first day of any month in the year. On the first day of the month, immediately following the month in which he attains the age of 60 years, if he attains that age after the first day of any month of the year. From April 21st to August 2016, in line with the 280 correctional officials and types. The personal health of the new operation for more than 50 years. The only exception was the former homeless, where he just passed by, where he compiled a retirement age of 55. With regard to the vacant position of Chief Official Officer, CFO and Chief Deputy Commissioner, Strategic Management, interviews will take place in coming weeks. And those positions seated when the former CFO left with the NSR defense, and the CDC strategic management was appointed DG for economic development, General Herbert with the people in correction service, where they generally move up. Our members still refer to the suspension of the CEO and the judicial inspector of corruption services on 5 December 2013. Due to the statute rule, we are not a feedback to divulge much regarding the allegation of wrongdoing. Safe to say that the CEO of the judicial corruption services is under the management of the inspector judge. The report to the inspector judge assigned to teaching by the effective judge and in the maximum case that they are fed with DCF for action. That report to us normally in that case. The people that are adopted in a municipal case is that impediments are not for vengeance but shall own a celebration. In the court, the figures are found, it is stated that every man and woman shall have the right to vote a candidate for all voting which made a law. All people shall be entitled to take part in the administration of the country. The rights of the people shall be the same regardless of any color of them. And in this regard, I think we, as far as the motion policies are concerned, we know that the inmates have a place of in-voting. They can participate to them as candidates, but they participating as voters from 1994, issue around in the year 2000, that was affected by the Constitutional Court, but the issue was not whether they should vote or not, but whether, since the local government election thing, you should vote where you are ordinarily elected. The issue to be decided was where is the teammate ordinarily elected, the court should be elected. This is the advantage of therefore it shall be the how and voter education and elections should be conducted at our security and rehabilitation centers who are ready for the 2014 election. As the IEC prepares for elections over the next few months, the EF will also be busy ensuring that all inmates are in possession of all the necessary documentation to register for relevant educational programs. Section 41 of the Constitutional Act of 1998 states for the department must provide or give access to a full range of programs and activities, including need-based programs as is practical, to meet the educational and training needs of sentenced offenders. Sentenced offenders who are illiterate or children must be compelled to take part in the educational program offered in terms of subsection. We have spoken quite a lot about that if at the state is paying for someone upkeep for 2 years, for 5 years, for 11 years, it would be a generation of children in that person come in not knowing how to read, write, or count, but comes out after 5 years not knowing how to read, write, or count. In this regard, we wish the thousands of offenders were at various levels of their education who are preparing and teaching for them at the start of the year. Where men are under education and training, leather, matrix, as well as those matrix diploma, higher diploma, degrees, and higher degrees. Last year, in the National Human Services Examination, IMAGE achieved a 79.25 pass rate compared to 68.6. the best performing correctional standard school was from the Johannes the correctional standard school, which achieved 94.7 pass, followed by the student school was based on the Natal, which achieved 81.4%. Other remember, end of this year, we announced that from the 1st April 2016, it compiles that for every inmate without your qualification equivalent to baseline to complete an 18-11-1-4. To date, 11,349 inmates are participating in this AET program in correctional centers across the country. Inmates assisting in this program also receive gratuity. I think here that inmates spend more time with other inmates, and it's important for those inmates that are literate to assist other inmates that are not literate to know how to read, write, or count. And if we do that as we tend to do in a programmatic fashion, that you are dealing with this fast inmate, that will count as part of the rehabilitation process for that particular inmate who takes that responsibility and will receive some gratuity, each one teaching one. Proper identification is also necessary for health care delivery in accordance with the National Health Guideline norms and studies. Together with the Department of Health, DDS participated in the development of a successful proposal for a global fund to fight HIV, sexually transmitted infection, TB, and malaria. To effectively manage tuberculosis in correctional centers, GeneXpert machines are now available at Bariani Sport, Joanne, Argentine, Belleville, and Portsmouth. Next Tuesday, police will know that this has been a sore point that we got taken to court for a fine, big and bond of arguing whether the person contracted TB inside or came with it and so forth. The point of the matter is that the person had TB and was an inmate, and we need to be dealing with it. And then I think that the process of screening every inmate that they come in, and also ensuring that those he has left behind are also screened. Went very well that it's a program that the Department of Health together with us are taking quite seriously. Next Tuesday, on the 12th of November, we will be meeting with the Bloemfontein Corrections Consortium, BCC, who is responsible for the Mangaung Bagot Correctional Center. As you are all aware, the safety and security situation at the Mangaung Correctional Center has remained under public scrutiny for a while. The relationship between DCS and BCC is governed by a concession contract which details services to be rendered as well as minimum compliance requirements in fulfillment of the contract. We want to ensure compliance in terms of the law and contract, and there are consequences for any breach of contract. Over the next 8 months, as per contract, ownership of these facilities will revert to the state. That is the basis. Subsequent to our written communication to the chairperson of the portfolio committee on the 18th of September, on the 9th of October, DCS invoked Section 112 of the Correctional Services Act with regards to the management of a Mangaung Correctional Center operated by G4F. Section 112 states, quote, if in the opinion of the National Commissioner, in consultation with the Minister, the director has lost or is likely to lose effective control of a public private partnership correctional center or any part of it, and if it is necessary in the interest of safety and security to take control of such a correctional center or part of it, he or she may appoint a temporary minister to act as the head of that correctional center, and may retain custody officials with correctional officials to the extent necessary. Housing Regional Commissioner, then I'm Lisa, one of our most experienced officials, is currently overseeing the facility in Mangaung. Various countries, including Canada and Britain, utilize private companies to manage correctional facilities. In 2000, government entered into a public-private partnership to construct, maintain, and manage the Mangaung facility. This PPP experiment seems to be showing that the desired results are not being realized. And this as we continue to engage all affected parties. And for the record, we want this experiment to succeed. We want to ensure that not only the minimum standards are maintained, but in fact, better than minimum standards are maintained. On the 25th of October, following reports of allegations of offenders at MCC being possibly injected with antipsychotic medication and electroshocks being used to subdue and control offenders, we immediately ordered an investigation into the matter. The investigation included the appointment of a medical chief, as per the Geneva Convention, cruel treatment and torture of inmates, including outrages upon persons' dignity, in particular, humiliating and degrading treatment should not be tolerated. On parole. Honourable members, parole is an internationally accepted mechanism that allows for the conditional release of offenders from correctional centres into the community prior to the expiry of their entire sentence of imprisonment. As you know, more and more offenders are approaching the court with regard to their parole application. Through our parole system, we are able to afford an offender a second chance in life to become a law-abiding citizen, to minimize the probability of reoffending by ensuring gradual integration back into the community under controlled circumstances, to provide an opportunity to continue with the rehabilitation program in the population. During 2012-2013, the number of parolees without violations increased from 78.5% to 84.8%. There are also several success cases of offenders who were released on parole and became successful law-abiding citizens. These include offender Hadi, who was sentenced 15 years for robbery. He enrolled for an LLB degree and completed it in 2012. He has been offered an opportunity to be a tutor of law students at the University of Maputo. Offender Fahim Mangani, who attended ABET training while incarcerated, is now an ABET facilitator at the mining company. Offender Tobias Mayoyo spent 3 years in treatment and achieved 8 symbols in math, biology, economics, and business economics, and 3 symbols in English as a professor. He was awarded a full pass to study at an educational institution of his choice just a week after being released on parole. The implementation of the new Act 1998 during 2004 has brought a new dimension to the release policy of the department. The most significant changes regarding the release of offenders on correctional supervision or parole placement is enhancing the role of the community in decision making and the opportunity granted to victims of crime to express their views before any decision is made by a correctional supervision and parole board. The protection of the community should be fundamental. The release of the offender should not have a negative impact on the community. The program of ensuring that the victim is actually placed at the center of the release is quite important and is being appreciated. On the 23rd February 2012, the new medical parole advisory board was announced to assist in processing medical parole applications. The new medical parole system differs from the previous one in that an offender or someone acting on the offender's behalf is from the 1st of March 2012 able to bring an application for release on medical parole. Before the 1st of March 2012, only the medical practitioner treating the offender will apply. Apart from terminally ill inmates, the net is thrown wider to include physically incapacitated inmates and those suffering from an illness that severely limits their daily activity or self-care. From 1st of March 2012 to 2nd October 2013, the medical parole advisory board tested the application as follows. The application received were 12 verified, positive recommendation for release was 56. Recommendation is not to release 154. The victim offender dialogue aims to strengthen the current rehabilitation and reintegration program of the department. It places the victim at the center of the questions process. Various victim offender mediation and victim offender dialogue sessions were held in this regard. The release policy encourages victim empowerment as a basic right to the case. The Criminal Procedure Act makes provisions for the victim to attend a correctional supervision parole for hearing or to make written representation to the CSPD. The victim may request to have certain stipulations included in an offender's parole of victim, especially in rape and child abuse cases. The participation of victims has increased from 253 in 2010-2011 to 1,215 in 2012-2013. In the first quarter of 2013, 344 victims participated in the CSPD sessions against a target of 265. The ministerial, I must say that we will invite and encourage members of the portfolio committee to participate in this victim offender dialogues in the community. They are very well attended because it is usually the first time when the victim actually meets the offender. Whereas in court, the state settles the offender. If you are a victim, you might just be called or not called as a witness. But this time, you then have the victim who has gone through a process where he has reached a point where he says, I regret what I've done. I'm sorry. And I want to reconcile with the person who was wronged by my doing. To apologize does not require the victim to say, I forgive. It merely says, I'm sorry. And that is part of the healing process, of the rehabilitation process of the offender with whom I did. The Ministerial Task Team was established on the 11th February 2013, following the Ministerial Consultative Forum with recognized trade union partners, POCU and PSA. The Task Team, comprising of four reps from management, POCU and PSA, was mandated to tackle a range of issues in order to facilitate a sound labor management relationship with the department. The forum resolved that the Task Team would resolve all issues before 15 March 2013. However, it soon became clear that given the enormity of the task at hand, it was necessary to set aside more time. And on 13 to 15 June, 2013 was granted. It was also made clear that the intervention was in no way designed to replace the existing departmental bargaining chamber, but rather an instrument to remove barriers that existed in the departmental bargaining chamber. Accordingly, the forum also resolved that the DBC and other relevant structures would remain to fulfill their necessary mandates. The task team met on the following day, 7-8 March, 14 March, 19 April, 10 June, 14 June, 8 June, 20 October, 2013. Today, the Ministerial Task Team managed to resolve the following issue. The payment of outstanding pay for questions less 3%. Payment of pay progression for social workers. Extension of an education labor relations council resolution 4 2009 to educators at DCS. Payment of merit awards to qualified officials. Absorption of learners into entry level positions within DCS. Training of control room operators. Payment of overtime for nurses. Leave management. Establishment of a process to resolve the housing allowance issue, privatization and outsourcing, the non-implementation of agreements, for example, the Memorandum of Understanding, the Settlement Agreement of 2005, removal of factors that affect the success of the relationship by objectives, establishment of a process to resolve the issue of shift patterns and the safety of members, the payment of transmission of group 1 learners to correct some chips that is being sent to the 2008. Finally, next Monday, the 11th of November, in another affair towards ensuring that all South Africans are and feel safe, will be officially demonstrating our electronic monitoring control room at our head office in Pretoria. As part of the groundbreaking initiative, we are now able to monitor and communicate with offenders who are electronically monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. DCS is hard at work with its officials, offenders, social partners, and the public in transforming our country and deepening democracy. A human rights culture is necessary for the entire fabric of our society. And to this demonstration, we will we are extending an invitation to members of the portfolio committee, because it's actually quite important for all of us to see what actually happens with the electronic monitoring. It's more effective than a person who is actually in a cell, because you are seeing a person moving from the kitchen to the lounge to the yard, outside the yard, and you can trace with the distance of your movement, all your movement last week and this week and so forth. So it's quite an effective way, and one is rolled out. I think it's going to be one other way of assisting us in terms of overcrowding and all those matters. Chairperson, I thank you very much for this opportunity, and we will be responding to any questions that might arise. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your report. Indeed, it covers the areas that we have requested, but I'm sure members will have other areas that they might want to cover. The country is restricted just to the civilian state of the department. So members are then at liberty to raise issues, and hopefully the department or the minister will say something that the department will help. Just a few problems, so while members are thinking about it, can I just raise two issues that indeed you touched on your report? The first one is the issue of leadership in the department. You indeed highlighted why the commissioner is no longer commissioner according to Correctional Services Act and so on, and I think that's acceptable. But just to indicate, we're not preparing for this minister. This department since 2002 has never had a national commissioner that served the whole time. Never. In their term, when I say this, that's their whole term, let's put it differently, the parliamentary term. In other words, from 1999 to 2004, 2004 to 2009, and so on. I'm sure from all those terms that there was a break in terms of the commission. We had Zoliso at that point, we had Peterson, we had Moyami, and so on. And I think it's not very different from, or the situation is not very different from the CFO point of view. I think the point I'm making, Minister, is that we run the risk of losing institutional merit if the turnaround is so high, and a sense of instability maybe, and I'm glad that it's taking union. So I think my request is, in looking at it, if these are the kinds of things that that has to consider, that at least the term of offer of the CFO and the commissioner has to be a whole term, because those are the two most senior people, from an institutional and a stability. But just to illustrate the point, Minister, the current annual report, 2012-2013, the Auditor General raises serious concerns around procurement policy, for instance, asset management, the unreliability of financial information, financial statements that are not prepared in accordance with the framework. These are the issues raised in the AG's report. Now, one of those issues that are highlighted are probably accounting 101 things that you learn, financial management, credit reporting, and so on. So the point that I'm emphasizing, Minister, that I think many of these issues that are raised by the AG would be eradicated if disability at that level was there, because these are really not fundamental issues, these are the basic issues. So my appeal would be if we can bring some sort of ability, certainly at the CFO and the industry level. So that was the first point. You have raised it, but I want to emphasize. The second one that I want to emphasize, you can comment on it, is the issue that you related to that network in the media. The development of the Mangaung Center. Now, the first point, you indicate that there is some investigation. If you could just indicate when do we anticipate the conclusion of that investigation, it would be helpful. But also just to bring to your attention, and I raise this, Minister, the contract stipulates that we're in this relationship for 25 years. And I think we've got about 14 years to go. The annual cost of these two centers, not Mangaung specifically, but just the two centers, the annual cost is about 800 million rand a year. If you look at the program care or whatever, it gets less than 800. I'm taking some of the program care for it. At the rate of 800 million rand, for the next 14 years, will probably be in the tune of about 12 billion rand that we're going to have to expend. After 25 years, all we get is just two correctional centers. That's all we get. So the 20, or the 18 billion, is 20 billion that we've invested over 25 years by only two correctional centers. I'm just wondering if there might be a need for us to look at, and I know we can't stop it, but just to look at it in light of the fact that 21 minutes are probably more than 18 children. It would be more than 18 children if we take it at the rate that we pay for England. All we're going to get is 2 prisons back. So those are the issues I could put on the issue. For your initial comments, you then, you have just had these two issues first. Or can we ask the minister to respond? They will take it. Is that okay? All right, thanks, Minister. Before you respond, I've then noted self and then Balizo. Self, Balizo, Ngwenya, Makabula, and Max in the order. But Minister, please respond.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm happy that you raised that issue of the stability in the department. I think one can only talk about one's own track record. When we get to April next year, we have been 20 years in the executive. And in 20 years, I've had 3 heads of department in 20 years. So I have usually stayed with the head of department. No, I'll be serious. No, but I'll be here 2014 April. Whatever after that, I'll write about me and Seth. Yeah, but if one, for my own track record, if in 3 years I stay with only 3 heads of department, as MEC, Chairman, as Premier, and as Minister of Transport, I think that says that I'm not in a happy job of divorcing HODs. I think it's good for the office, it's good for the program, it's good for everybody else. It doesn't mean there are no difficulties, but if in those various positions, only 3 people that should see something. In this instance, I will actually ask the portfolio committee to actually be more vigilant and towards this. We have a possibility of a very serious, because the class action, where people wanted to take me to court, not that they refused parole or release, and not on those mates, but full time. The person who signed is not supposed to be there. And it was a very serious thing, and I truly did not know. I was just going around picking 65 and so forth. But the act says the commissioner, when he's about to age 60, must inform the minister that 6 months before. That, by the way, is not that heavy. I know the bedrooms of the officials here, but I actually don't know when they were born. I just know heavy birthday, but I don't know when they were born. I only know my neighbor, but you just know the birthday, you don't know the age of their born. So I did not know that the commissioner was actually the chief. I knew there was a chief, but I didn't know the other part that is compulsory to retire unless you actually go and put a convincing case to cabinet. And cabinet then asked why, knowing that the person is retiring, didn't you prepare another person, that sort of thing, and so forth. And they extend it for 3 months or whatever it is, and say five something. So that is the situation. But the frightening one for me was that class action where, to put it bluntly, our chip off, okay, if we don't move on this is why the action is coming, and everything that was signed would say, and the court would just say, bring them all, release all of them. Anything that is signed, say no parole. Bring all of them, because it's not a proper acute person who signed that. So that's a very big advantage, and most of the leaders people here know the implication of having someone signing a thing that they're not supposed to sign. So that's where we were at. And of course, we did offer an alternative thing to the commissioner and that's what happened. And I will ask that the portfolio committee should also assist in a particular thing that there are legal issues here. You should have supported the behavior, you are actually now breaking the law and so forth. But it's my responsibility at the end of the day. And we've corrected it now. And that's what it was. I think Commissioner can comment on the matter.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Maybe it is important to say that after we took over Mangaung, a lot of things came to the fore, and therefore our investigation had to be a two-pronged investigation. We are having an investigation that is looking at healthcare issues, and we are also having an investigation that is looking at security issues. After the preliminary investigation was presented to me, we then realized that we needed a deeper investigation into the issues, and therefore we are expecting the healthcare investigation report to be submitted to us on the 8th of this month, and the one that is covering broader security issues to be submitted to us on the 15th of this month of November. And maybe also to clarify what the minister referred to in terms of the contract. There are two parts to the contract. There was the billing part, which is the part that the minister was saying would then soon belong to the department. And the contract in terms of rendering the full service is indeed a 25-year contract. And I think as a department, we have admitted even before, and we still do, that this is one of those contracts that were not carefully thought through, because we agree that outsourcing the custodial duties of inmates was not the best move, and therefore that is why this matter was taken back to cabinet, and a decision was taken that there will be no PPPs in the current form, as we have a tool that we are having in the country. Thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome, ma'am. Mr. South?
Thank you very much indeed, and thank the Minister for coming here. Just one short question arising out of my role, and that is that the Act makes provision for a controller, the person from DCS, who is in the prison and supposed to maintain oversight over the way that the prison is run on behalf of the department. Now, this wasn't something that came on one weekend. This has been coming on a long time. I want to know what that controller would think all this time, that these things were happening in that prison and nobody in DCS apparently knew about it. And I think that that's a very serious matter that needs to be investigated, if not by this investigation that is taking place, then independently of that. Minister, I listened to your speech at the budget note with great interest, because I really do think that you have a very good idea about how the department needs to be transformed in order to get a better result and contribute to a safer society. But you mentioned a whole lot of things in your budget speech about overcrowding, Second Chance Act, reading prevention, better use of offender labour and so on, which you didn't cover today. But ultimately they all add up to one thing, and that is that really, to the extent that it is socially responsible, you should try to keep people out of prison. And it needs to be by tracking devices and various other things, make sure that people do community service rather than imprisonment, because I think we all know that if somebody goes to prison, they're likely to emerge more criminalized on their release than when they were admitted. Just out of nature, so. So, really what a lot of what needs to happen is intersectoral and involves justice and constitutional development and involves the police and involves social development and other departments. Can you give us an idea about what you are doing to operationalize the vision that you felt up in the budget debate, which involves a number of other government departments? And what progress is being made to the sort of vision that you articulated back in respect of other departments?
Thank you, Minister, and thank you, Honourable Member. Indeed, the controller was supposed to inform the department, and as these incidents coming to the fore, we realize that there are things that the controller was supposed to do that were not done, but there are also allegations that are coming to the fore against the controller. So, as part of the investigation, we are investigating the controller.
I'm taking your comments on the budget speech, particularly on this keeping out of prison. They are remedial, actually. The Second Chance Act is now quite a celebrated instrument. What is good about it, as far as the United States is concerned, was that it was a bipartisan measure. Both all parties felt that instead of saying you break someone, you send them to prison until they break and so forth, you need to build someone so that they get the second chance and they mess it up, of course.
factors have really done so much. But the issue of the involvement of number one, of inmates doing not just things, sitting there locked up and doing nothing and therefore blaming all sorts of things, but to actually to get them to be thinking positively, building their own character, so that we have, as you say, the head, the heart, and the head. So that if you knew only one thing to do with your head, to put out an organ or a 9mm, shoot somebody or stab somebody, you now know how to make a table, how to make a chair, how to make a mattress, how to make all sorts of things, and which skills become useful to you to just be able to maintain your own body, give it the trust and life and dinner. That's fundamental. Most people are not able to just maintain their own body, let alone they are dependent. That's your own body. And to enable those people, I think it's a program that is going well, but not as widely as one would wish, because you really want all the people, not just in Israel, to be trained, not only in Baltimore to be trained, but only in St. Louis, but all the people to be undergoing something that you can create something, you can do something. And therefore, those people's own prognosis of how they will be when they go out is much better. And the involvement of the community becomes quite important in that sense. First, let's deal with the character, and let's deal with what you can do. And this victim offender dialogue actually assists in that process to say, let's connect you, yourself. Stop this thing of just saying society does conspire against you. Come to a point where you experience some regret. Then regret must lead to want to reconcile with the person. Regret, then you have got remorse, then you've got reconciliation. Then that leads to rehabilitation and re-entry to society. Let's go through that process. And that process involves you becoming a better person. You yourself taking responsibility, not the society, not all people who were deprived, who then took them on the contrast. And that's what it is. So the process, therefore, the two white ladies, both in terms of victim offender dialogue and to ensure that offender labor is productive and results in somebody acquiring some skills, it becomes quite important that we really want to draw that out quite clearly.
Just about the
process
itself is which seems to be the biggest challenge, the role played by the other organizations of the criminal justice system, because there's not much that you can do about keeping people out if the judiciary insists that they must serve incarceration, or the police take long with investigations in terms of remand detention, or the national process. So I think the question that was being asked is there a collaborative effort to deal with all these matters?
I think that comes in.
Thank you, Minister. Just to add on what the Minister has said, the victim charter is championed by the Department of Justice. And therefore, in our victim offender dialogue work, we work hand in hand with the Department of Justice in that program. We work very closely with the Department of Social Development in that program, because LDCS alone wouldn't have sufficient capacity to even counsel the victims and their families. Therefore, in terms of tracing even the families, as much as our own community corrections offices are doing that, but we also utilize the Department of Social Development, particularly their community development section, to do that. But also, as DCF, we are part of the NAC joint, which also is operational in the regions, as Prof. Jones. We are part of the development committee, we are part of the JCPS cluster, but also we are part of the justice review where we're discussing alternatives to incarceration. We have sections of the law which allow us to approach the Justice Department, for example, in cases where people have bail that is below 1,000 rand, where we go and negotiate and we say the only thing that is keeping this person inside the correctional facility is that they don't have a 200 rand. Meaning that if we're giving this bail, they will not seen as posing a potential danger to society. So if this person is working cash because they don't have this money, can we get options? And we continue to try to do that. Much as it is a fact that when you go to our facility, you find that you still find such people depending on how the different magistrates are reacting to the police. But we try as much as possible to work with departments within the cluster, but also those that are not necessarily within the JCPS cluster. But more importantly also, the involvement of communities and non-governmental organizations. We've seen an example in Worcester where a non-governmental organization was very instrumental in making sure that the victim of a dialogue is successful in that particular institution.
Thank you very much. Ma'am Parito?
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, thank you for a very informative report from yourself and a very progressive one. The first one I want to point out is the fact that the minister put emphasis on the freedom part that is to educate inmates, that imprisonment is not for vengeance. I like that one. It will help us to educate society, and it will also help us with the reconciliation of our country, because we are not there yet, Minister. This is a very positive move. And also on page 4, the access to education, Minister must emphasize that there is a progress in the education program of correctional center. We do see it on TV, and we need to acknowledge in this portfolio the progress that is making in terms of things that we were raising as a portfolio and issues. And we welcome also with the Jenner Express machines that are available at the different centers. We need to acknowledge what we achieve. But they need to talk on page 5, the Manaum Center. I think I was the one who debated about these people, that's why I was playing hands. That we do achieve the point that we will make a decision. And as this portfolio, we will have to support it because we had the courage when we were echoing. We visited the center, it was our oversight, and there was a disturbing thing that happened then. Until today, we don't have a response that what was the outcome of that investigation of an email that was pulled with his private part, like a dog you pull with a rope on the neck. It's even better a dog because it's a safety belt around the neck of a dog. But heaven, to pull, although it's an image, how will you rehabilitate this person if you are pulling him with his private part? Even an animal cannot be pulled with private part. And in Mangaung, when we were there, also visiting Mangaung, I must say the person who is running that center was very good with the portfolio committee. He even made us understand that this is my space. It's not in balance. He said that for us. When I was raising questions to him, we were blown by his data. Let me say that. That's how I felt that time I told him. Now you are in sort of really blown by his mentality. Because we will overstand here because there is government coffers funding here involved. So we will be here and coming to Oxford. Whether it's space or not, but we will be here. So there are many different things out of these repetitions. Yes, we must give money, but we don't have the right to go and do oversight where we are offending a boss. That was very disturbing. That's why I was very at the forefront as a member of the portfolio debating about these PPPs and what we are running with PPPs. And then funding that we are spending at these PPPs. Why the DCA Correctional Center are in a state of dilapidated status because we are not renovating that, we are busy giving money to PPP. That was not a welcome thing to do. That mistake we must correct, Minister. I'm really happy that on the 6th Minister also we welcome the progress achieved about education. The LFA is really one of the things that the rehabilitation program is really taking its course. They said, the Minister, this team of Center Dialogue, when we were visiting the Umtata Center, the community was also there, pointing out on radio from women that they really need more of this program, which means it's positive. If they also call for the VOP dialogue, meaning that the community does see there is change. So we must also see the change. Although there are challenges, yes, there will be challenges. Because many of these centers in staff, we must say this and we must acknowledge them, are built in the days of apartheid and they were not built for rehabilitation. If I look at the Springbok Center, when this is the Springbok Center, now it's just a very nice strong. You can't rehabilitate people there. And where is the situation, Minister? We will never in a million years rehabilitate people in that center. That is why skills is growing there more. When they come out there, they go straight to them. Because they are more, you know, Minister, when people come out of that, even your young people, most of the young ones come out of that, they are more traumatized than they were when they went there. Because traumatized, they must say. So we have to acknowledge all of that. But we need them to do some work in this center to change in an architectural Minister, we welcome this progress that was made up of the ministerial task team. Because this was also very big issue. And Minister, we did that on it. The task to implement it. Hey, program. We need also to acknowledge that, Minister. So there is an example of progress, where is a program, which say there is certain bullet points that was addressed by the Minister's task team. And also we welcome the electronic monetary control system that is going to be implemented. So that we have to test our constitution. We have to test how the system is going to work, because we will not know if we are not going to test this thing. We have to test so that we can make our mistakes and learn out of that mistake of us. At least, Minister, I must say today, I'm enlightened by this report, because it's giving me that there is an effort that is made for rehabilitation. I thank you.
Thank you very much for the comments. I think the issue that the raising of the victim offender, we really want to ask the member to really assist, because in every community there is an offender, there is a victim, and a victim for us is a person who has been assaulted or stolen property and so forth. But a victim is also the parent or relative of the offender. Suddenly you have been a good citizen in your community, and people now, when you come to your car or whatever, they are pointing at you, hey, look at him, his son is a drug person, his son is a drug person, this and so forth. And you have not invited that, you're charged to do that, but suddenly you are also a victim, a very suffering victim, because you are saying the citizens and aggressor and so forth. So I think the way the community is received, this particular religious community, to start saying, we shall ensure that the injunction that is there in our constitution, the injunction that is there in our religious scripture, visit those who are sick, visit those who are in prison. We actually do that ourselves, but not necessarily by going to Portugal, but to go to the family. Those families are suffering quietly. There were five in the family, now there are four. When the other one, they don't say, the five, this one and this one, and then they jump, and then that one, they don't say with this other one is there. As you say. And you become a victim and you have not invited this. And perhaps in that regard, without being long quiet on the matter, in that regard of criminality and who gets into crime, there is a new offender that is coming into our center. He's young, both male and female, both black and white. That's one area where we're achieving non-racialism in the back end. Drugs. The people who are involved in drugs are not necessarily from the poor. From the very rich families, they're drugs. From very poor families, they're drugs. And yet you get in there, you're coming out with 15 years. And suddenly here is where to do family, suddenly you've got this person. And that relaxation is actually quite necessary. But what is more necessary, one of the methods is what we're starting to do with the Minister of Basic Education, to take the inmates in their orange uniform to address a high school, a Dalit high, so to Google it. They come in the uniform. I was here, I was in the class. I started, this is how I started this thing of drugs. And people start seeing, phew, this has been one of the superstar or the life of the past year suddenly is now being 15 years. You can't just imagine 15 years. Then it shocks them. It's a shock treatment. And I think we need that because it's a scare that is taking our country by storm. It's taking other sister countries like Brazil, like Argentina, and so forth, by storm, and it's beginning to take our country by storm. The people who are involved there are completely non-racial, non-sexist. It's all mixed up people. And what do you do with this person? When it's inside there, it's obviously off track. But how do you know when they go out whether they are going to go back and so forth? So it just needs the raising of the consciousness. And I think all of us have got a duty. I don't think that South Africans who are conscious enough about how serious the drug scare is. And it's a worse type of crime than this one. Last year, I'll just touch on this victim offender dialogue. That it's a replica of the TRC at a personal level. The DLC was national oppression, dealing with the national health and everything else. Khan is personal. It jumps all other people and then just kicks you out, kicks your car, kicks you. And every time you are angry, why me? Why does this person choose to choose me and humiliate me and do all those sort of things? And you need closure of thoughts. It's very good to say the person is 15 years, 20 years, but the head remains you. When this person comes and says, I am sorry, I acknowledge your humanity, and I am sorry, I did this thing, for whatever reason, but we are being acknowledged. I think it's quite important, and in most communities, that is actually welcome, quite well. We did a very, very good program in Worcester, and with the whole mayor and everybody there. It's the community really wants. And sometimes when a person comes and says, I'm sorry, like happened in Worcester, the lady whose daughter was killed, she does and said, I hate you. And that's her natural reaction. But even as she says that, she is getting towards closure of her head, because she's now being acknowledged. I think we need to be doing more of this, and as portfolio committee, I think we need to ensure the department that we invite the portfolio committee, and we do that because different personalities are able to do this in different ways, but it does heal the community in a way, and therefore does the rehabilitation, also the prevention part, where people say, hey, I don't want to go that route. But thank you very much for the comments.
Mambo, yeah?
Thank you, Captain. Also, thank you for the speech of presentation from the minister. Okay, I will start with the appointment of the acting national commissioner. Today, Captain Singh, we like to thank the minister for coming in front of this portfolio committee to explain about the commissioner. A situation is the first time as a blue bike of this committee to get a report or to be informed about commissioners, as you said, that this portfolio committee never had a commissioner that is staying until the end of a Connor. I'd like to thank you, Commissioner, for that. But, Chairperson, I want to ask a question from the court, from the minister. In terms of the report of 2012-2013 from the Auditor General, in terms of the policy that is funded, that the department is having people who are acting for long term. That how is the minister see this problem, and when is this problem going to come to an end? To have posts that is funded, but there are many people that are acting on those posts. In terms of the election. Yes, we agreed with the minister when he called the Freedom Charter in terms of the prison shall not be for vision, but shall aim at a re-education. So my question on this one for election of 2014, yes, we agreed that it made a good right also. But I want to check with the minister in terms of the party political parties that that the political parties allowed to go and campaign for their parties as the inmate is going to vote. Chairperson, I'd like to thank the department in terms of the education in our center. And we know that a prison today is not a prison, it is a rehabilitation. And it's a correctional center. We'd like to thank the department by education the inmates that are inside today. We are saying this is the deliverance of this country. The department must keep it up in terms of that. Because this committee is not only fighting the department because of fighting, but because we want to correct what is wrong and make the department to do the right thing. That is normal, right worker, because the department is involved in the correctional thing. In terms of Mao, I hope Minister is going to agree with this committee because the Minister has a minister that he has covered in the past in the past. But what I have to do is so we pull up and it is a covered in the past. Chairperson, I want all of us to agree about this resistance. We'll fight. We fight with this resistance. And I don't think, Chairperson, that we have done a justice with it. We have living hanging in terms of this 25-year contract. Whether we're coming back or we're not coming back, whoever is going to take over next year on the 2014, they must make sure, as acting commissioner said, they decided to stop the people peace. But I don't think that is enough. But we need to work out this 25-year contract. Because, you know, we cannot, as this country, allow a private security to lead our center. The center is manually protected. That even the minister, when he goes to that center, must make an appointment. You can't just go as you like. But we are saying we are concerned. That's why I said we made a mistake by allowing these strategic people to control themselves. So, Chair, in terms of Mangawu, I'm not happy about the investigation of the security or the health policy. There's a lot that we're waiting as the control committee. That was failing in that center. We're not yet getting the report from now. We'd like the department to compile a full report in terms of Mao and bring it back to us before we adjourn to the election. I think it's very important for us to get that report, Chairperson. Chairperson, the department has done very well in terms of the parole and the inmates that are participating on this parole. Although people, Chairperson, are not the same in other states. But we know more about who are holding a gift. 100% to 99% of the inmates that have done well in terms of their parole. Okay, I want to check on the halfway house. How far is the department on it? It's still housing or it has spread to another province? And when are we going to get the report of the halfway house? Chairperson, in terms of the ministry casting, I think it's a good idea for the department for this ministry casting. But the challenge that I'm hearing, Chairperson, is that there's one thing that is not clear on this point that are here, that they are investigating. management purposes. That it is working effectively or not. Because when we go to oversight, you'll find the members complaining about their shift. You'll find that where the escape, is on weekend, where there are no more, there are no much more members on weekend. So I would like to see the trustee also check that, is it this a 7 days establishment working effectively or not? And here we need a final report from the commissioner because this is a fish. But we need the salary report that comes from this trustee secretary. Last detail. On the victim. I'm happy when the minister outlined the victims that the victim is not the victim only for the person that has put the inmate in prison, but even the inmate of inside the victim. But I want to add to say, even our members, our state, also are victims. Our victims treated in such a way that they get assaulted themselves, or they are both get assaulted by the inmate, they get killed by the inmate, therefore they are also victims. Also, they are victims again, even the salary that they are getting. I'm not a union, but I would like to raise this today because the minister is saying. When we go to oversight, we used to call the members also, to show them that you are not looking after the inmate only, but you are also taking care of them and appreciate what they are doing. But the cry that you are hearing nationally, our members are crying about upgrading of mental health services and disaster seminar. Then they'll tell you, Mama, when I'm saving here for 10 years or 5 years, but enough. I'm at the age at the age and
China, and the other one that was led by CFO, the
panel that he said the interview will be going on this month of November. So everything is committed there except the interview panel includes ministers because it's the DTC level of therefore, we're just finalizing that, and I'm sure by the end of the month we'll have finished the interviews. So that we don't have the active part. The inspector in charge one, the judge himself said, of course, with the mental role in that. The employment is done through the department, but the president is really the CEO of the inspector in charge, and therefore he plays the key role in the selection and all the interviews and so forth. And I'm sure that will be finalized as well. On the question of the election campaign, fortunately, this is not the first one. It's from 1994, inmates are voting, and parties send their deputies are there, and there is no member who can be allowed to not make that meeting that is made available to all inmates, and they read and do whatever. Like they do in hospitals and in other places. What doesn't happen is that there's no campaign included by ourselves to say, falling and then voting this way and so forth, and in the case, actually, they're not organizing this way that way. But they read this thing and they report it, I think, and they hold, I think, that count was about 50% or more that voted, and we are rolling out the issue of IDs to ensure that those people who don't have IDs have IDs for this. One is for this education, to register for education that is really and a law allows us to be much more recognized than we have been. In ensuring that the people who are being paid for by the state don't live end up when you can't count and they live 3 years down the line, 5 years, if you can't count, they can't read and so forth. And how is this person going to take care of themselves if they can't even read and so forth? So that program is going quite well, and the incentive that you've got inmates teaching other inmates that we do in the community. With some small cartridge, yeah. Also, it's encouraging quite a number of them to do it. And others are registering mostly to move away from sections that have got all the negative things about them and so forth. So it's becoming quite an attractive proposition to the inmates. And I think it can only be good for us because the person is now, for the first time, living in a decent way, having a feeling that is bigger than himself. And we have got a reason to hope that this person will be better. Unlike the inmates that used to say, sir, you found me here, you leave me here, just leave me alone. And if a person is doing life, is doing 8 years, you need to find it there. But you are finding quite a number now being enthusiastic about drinking just for their own self-improvement and so forth, which I think is going to begin to process a better human being than they were before. That's our task, to make a person better than what they were. The campaign, therefore, in terms of election itself, the literature is made available to everyone without exception to make sure that that is so, and the portfolio committee is free to actually see to it that inmates are getting whatever literature that is available. Then on the day of, and of course that they are registered, and on the day of voting, those who want to vote, those who don't, and that's it. No party can and should be advantaged. And the Mangaung, yes, I think talk more about that one. But it's a cold intention, is one of those experiments that we say in 20 years, this is what we've experimented on. And there are a number of things like in education that we've experimented on, and that are none of the fun that doesn't work. One the problem in education, outcome based, this one, and you try this one, and so forth. And similarly, on this privatization of correctional centers, it's one of the attempts that we did to tell, together with the United Kingdom, I think the United States, the similar experiment, I think the UK is also coming to the same conclusion that we're coming into, that it doesn't work very well. And therefore, we retreat just in time, and we're supposed to have six, we have two. And the cabinet already took a decision that one is going to go beyond the two that we have, and the two that we have, then in their program, then we invoke the necessary act, not because one will grab others, but because at the end of the day, the responsibility to ensure that an inmate who is sentenced by a court is actually taken care of in terms of they get the breakfast, they get the food, the nutrition, and also a program to make them better, the rehabilitation program. And then we cannot outsource, we want to ensure that it happens everywhere else. But we hope that the meeting of the 12th will assist us to reach a clear understanding, nobody begging anybody, to reach an understanding that this is our responsibility and this is your responsibility. And having it to the best of our ability, it's your advantage, it's our advantage, and that's the approach. But if the problem is then, of course, we then have to intervene and we will intervene if there are problems. And there's no two ways about that because the facts stop here. When nobody knows it, the PDT, when it happens, to hey, what the correctional service is doing now, and all that. So those are the things that are happening. I think the Commission of Community is there.
Halfway houses, 7 days, Richmond and Water. Can I suggest on the Angaumo PPD issue that we keep talking about it now? Because I think it needs a standard discussion. Right now we get to keep news and it then goes out in that session. So we're certainly not taking it off the agenda. We're certainly going to call you, and at this point we can at least leave here knowing the sentiment of the portfolio committee is that we are not in favor. So is it alright if we have an internal proper discussion later on? But anything else other than this one, we just wanted you to understand the sentiment of the piece of the portfolio committee letter. Alright, it was the halfway houses, it was the 7 day establishment, and I think on that one, I think the report that you can talk to it, and that our officials are also victims, and how we have officials respond to those three, and then Ms. Makapula will follow thereafter.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, thank you. I want me just to add on the feeling of vacancies. The minister answered on the deputy director general level, but there is other vacancies on the level that we should be accountable for. Just to say that we are trying to suspect the feeling of vacancies. Because I've appointed several panels which were given a deadline to fill all senior management positions by the end of December this year. And since that directive, six of those positions have already been filled, and the panels are continuing because it is only through filling the senior management service that we can be able to adequately interview the ranks going down. So we are taking that very seriously as it's been raised in our annual report. On the issue of the ministerial task team, the issues that I mentioned in the minister's report of today were not exhaustive. And the issue of the 7 day establishment is captured in the bullet before the last one, which talks about
establishment of a process to resolve the issue of the shift treating and the safety of members, because the safety of members relates to periods when there is minimal staffing available at the center, and therefore this bullet will cover the broader issues of the 7-day establishment and how do we then move beyond the challenges that the officials are currently experiencing. And I think the issue that the honourable member raised, the one of the promotion policy, is the one that we omitted in this, but it's a matter that is also under discussion, because it's a matter that our members have been raising, that they remain in the same lower rank for 20 years, and therefore it's one matter that it's not easy to resolve, because the promotion policy was abolished across the public service, but we need to look at how then do we assist our members not to be at the same level for the rest of their life. So that is the point that is also on the table for discussion. The halfway house report will be presented to the portfolio committee. The commitment I can make is that we will submit this report to the portfolio committee by the 15th of November, the community corrections, because this report indeed is available, because we had a pilot in La Chorena and there was an assessment of this pilot. And following that, we have this partnership with La Chorena and Gauteng. We have a partnership with Bridge for Ashes in the Western Cape. We have a partnership with Life After Prison in Toyando in LMA. And these are partnerships for halfway houses. But the full report will be provided to the portfolio committee as requested by the honorable member. Did I miss something?
Yeah, maybe it will be covered in your bullet point, just the fact that I feel it's more a point of information that our officials must not be excluded sometimes when we talk about victims, because they sometimes also become victims, I think.
Thank you very much. We take that point. It is indeed a good point. And we were continuing with the declaration of the correctional official. That is precisely what the minister said to us in January. Minister said to us, everybody is talking for offenders. And it was during the time when, yes, there were offenders that were injured in Groenland, but there were also officials that were injured in Groenland. And these officials were never seen as victims by anyone. And minister emphasized that somebody needs to be speaking to these officials, because these officials are also victims. And now in some of the programs that we do, like with spiritual care, we involve the officials. We have services that are dedicated mainly to focus on officials, because we always had everything focusing on the offender. But I think it is a valid point that we will have to look into how then we integrate them as part of the VOD minister, so that they also benefit from the healing process that is presented by the victim of Serekaino. We take that on.
The Honourable Vincent Makakona.
Okay. There's one question that is left. The training of the members.
Thank you, Mama. We apologize. As part of our basic training, when we send learners to a college in Zona Batero Kloster, the firearm training is mandatory. It's part of the basic training for our correctional officers. And we also have our shooting ranges. In instances where we don't have a shooting range, we collaborate with the South African Police Service and we encourage this refresher training courses for our members. One would have to look at areas where
this may be insufficient and see how we can assist our workers. But the firearm training is part of the basic training for every correctional officer.
I'm smiling when you raise that, and I try not to answer slow. I'm hoping that we're not going to be using firearms inside the... That's why I'm hoping that you don't raise it, because just now they are shooting each other inside our facility, and we hope that's not going to happen. Mr. Makaburata.
Thank you, Jefferson. Minister, I think... what members are asking you about the matter of the Singapore is that when you respond, you said the rain is coming next week. Actually, next week will be, not even next week, you said the rain will come in the week coming. So does it have any specific time and date that this, like a team commissioner has explained, explain more thoroughly, you must start with you before you come here, because if you said the rain will rain in the winter, then really there is no any validity on that. Also, the chairperson has just put the issue of the Manga on hold, but my problem here, the issue of the GPP, I think, Minister, you are listening, the problem of the GPP is the PPP is not really Mangaung, because seemingly now we are speaking about the PPP and the Mangaung. All my culture says Ziva Mangoni, it means that because it happened to Mangaung, it also happened to the other facility, private facility somewhere there. Because I don't hear us speaking about the other facility. And we are speaking only about Mangaung, and similarly we are taking decisions based on one facility. And then we have also to check that, is that correct on our side or not. The other thing is that, are we in the right platform, or we are the right people in the department to investigate the issue of Mangaung? Are we in the right to investigate, or we have to ask some other people outside to investigate for us? Because really, they said this facility, it was supposed to be owned by us, we give it to them, and then now we are investigating them. Whereas there are things that we are doing also, showing that they are not doing correct. Really, we have also to check that, because later on, maybe we'll be taken to court about the plan that we can make before, if we don't check, I don't know, Minister, because you couldn't answer. The issue of education, Minister, I've been hearing you speaking about it. Actually, my question is that, who must do the education in our facilities? It's us or the Department of Education. I want the answer from your side, because I've been hearing in your report, you said, you must look at that. The department must look at that, and then who must do that in this education thing? Another thing, Chairperson, Minister, the issue of control room. I've been hearing you all promoting it, and when you mentioned it, it was very good. It was very good. But really, to put in your mind, that the same department is the same department that stopped Sondolo, if I'm not mistaken. Stopped Sondolo when he was busy doing this issue of the control room, which you said is good. And then whether the contract was stopped. And then I don't know if stopped through Sida or Ito from there, but we learned that the contract was stopped. And actually, I think, Minister, you were supposed by now to praise the entire facility, the way you were praising the control rooms. Now you are praising one of of the facility, whereas there was a contract, and then why it stopped, whereas there are a lot of things, including Minister. We want this program to carry on. We want this program also because the Minister is already placed in front of us. We want this program to carry on. If there's a new tunnel that must be going on, it must go on, but we want this program to carry on. We are with you, Minister. Yes, Minister, I think this one will be more on parole. Apart from medical parole, Minister, can you explain this parole of an inmate will go home during the day and come back in our facility at night, and it still happens? If it still happened, it happened correct, or what is the damage? Because we find that some other inmates that are qualifying for that are staying far away from the facility. Actually, if you want to give him, if you want to release him during the day, you have to give him money for taking or taking. Then we stay and later afternoon, the friend must get the text for the bus, maybe a flight to come back. So maybe also a train to come back, or a house train. Then what are we doing on that? And he's still there, he's working. We want to know that he's still there, he's working, or he's working to the individuals, or he's working to the entire inmate. Another thing, Minister, through you, Chair, Honorable Chair, Vincent Smith. The trustee, your trustee, I think is a trustee, but they are gurus in terms of correctional facilities. What happened about the issue of uniform? The officials get uniform is part of your time, is part of the task that the minister has been given to you. I don't know, because that's the one speaking now. No one is listening. Okay, or they are preparing answers, I don't know. The issue of uniform. Is part of, first, is it part of the mandate of the task team, or is not part, but we can explain. And then also the issue of the identification card. As a member of the commercial bank, we have to produce the card that I'm working as in this department. Is that happened? Or is also part of the housing chapter, I think.
First, I apologize for disturbing you, which has caused me to wish to answer certain applications that you're putting through. I know that I'm too busy to speak this time. But, yeah. Can I start, Commission Commissioner? First, the PDP. The PPP is one of the only about number of, I think, probably, I'm sure members here, because they've been in this parliament for quite a long time. It's one of the issues that this government has been experimenting on in the past 20 years. Say, can we outsource this, can we do this, can we do that, can we even outsource the road, and so forth, and then we've gained a particular experience out of it, and then some of it good, some of it quite negative, quite negative, so that this is one of them, but fundamentally, law and order is really what defines the state.
if the state can maintain law and order, and therefore cannot deprive somebody of freedom if they are becoming a nuisance in society, they assault other people. If you can't do that, therefore you have no right to have authority over a community or that society. And therefore, correctional service become quite central in that thing. It's one of the important issues. Become central in that. And if you then say, well, to deal with an out of this part, to get out of that part, that was part of the experiment that they, my reading so far is that we had quite big problems, but I don't think it depends on the principle. The principle needs to be worked out and so forth. I think all of us can now use the experience to say what do we do going forward. But as far as Kenneth is concerned, he has actually tried to get 6 passages to the people of God. Halfway, or less than halfway, then they said, stop. So Kenneth did take it in 2010 to stop this. But already, Mama was there already, so you want those to run smoothly to approximate what our vision is as much as possible, failing which there should be other measures that we take. The chapters have already commented on that, and we discussed it a little bit, but that's what it was. So it's not just about Mahao, the TPP, but about the whole approach to that thing. Then the teaching, I'm sure, Commissioner and the other members can then go on the teaching. We recruit teachers. As teachers who are in front of the class are then recruited, and they put on the uniform that actually act as a correctional official. And I'm sure this is the term for us, they are model schools, not model three, but model schools that when you're supposed to start 8, it starts at 8. It's disciplined, and it finishes when it finishes, and there's quite a lot of enthusiasm in it. So the teachers, they teach, and so forth. We've got difficulty in adopting some teachers like math and science and some of those. But the people who are teaching there are teaching and they are professional in it. And of course, the members also have got the obligation to teach at a basic level. And the inmates were encouraged to teach as well. If you can teach some to be their class and so forth, it's helpful. More than discussing some properly that you get out and this and this. It's access to ABC, 1, 2, 3 and so forth. So it's helpful. And if we then have a reward for it in the form of gratuity, it helps because you have gratuity which you're not going to have. You are teaching 10 people. They can now be designed to continue. It trains you as well, they're doing something useful, and it supplies you with a better talking point than talking just things that don't tell us very far. The Commissioner, if you can talk about this, the other from the other.
Sorry, Commissioner, before you start, just to give a context of the last point you raised, maybe we must go to let her put it in. What is happening with that correctional service portfolio is the principle. Our understanding that the domain of education falls within the Minister of Education, both higher and lower. The domain of health is the of health service delivery is the domain of the Minister of Health. That's at a high level, and I think that's what we're grappling with. Because the last time we were here, Minister, unless we resolve this problem, you will find that correctional services become the state in the state. Now, let me explain what I mean. There's education in the country, and yet correctional services have its own education regime. There's health in the country, correctional services have its own health regime, outside of the border health regime. So I don't think it's more who should be doing it, it's the principle, I understand. So that, as parliamentarians, we are able to ask the question, is this the route to go? Because you become a, there's a hospital in correctional services, there is school in correctional services, there's a hotel in correctional services in terms of accommodation, not a hotel in holiday, but a thing accommodation. So should we be responsible for all these things, or should we find a way of collaborating? I think that's the broader question I think we need to start making. Because that teacher is the, and we're talking here about mainstream education, by the way. We're not talking about the adult part of it. Somebody that teaches my kid in grade one, is it the same person that must teach my kid in grade one who might be incarcerated on the payroll of ED Association and the payroll of Minister Moshecha type of thing? I think that's the principle. In terms of the Mangaung issue that Mr. Makakula raised, I'm not going to allow you to talk about the policy then. I think the only question that you must respond to is a relevant one. Is DCS the appropriate vehicle to do the investigation that you were saying, or should it be investigated by an external person? I think that's the question you're raising, but the policy one, we will make that later on, and then you can respond to the other.
Thank you, Chairperson. We thought DCS is the appropriate body to investigate, suffice to say, on healthcare matters. We are collaborating with the Department of Health to also assist with some experts. But I take it that it's a terrible issue as well. Maybe after presenting our report, other recommendations can come to the fore, whether one is a full commission of inquiry or something further than that. But we were intervening according to the act and thought we should investigate. But I don't think it's going to make this case. So coming to the issue of health care provision and the provision of education, I would agree with you, Honourable Chair, when you say it's a matter that should be debated by yourself, because whatever happens, it will then impact the law. Because Section 10 of the Correctional Services Act says DCS shall provide health care services according to the available means. But we are collaborating with the Department of Health currently. We are in the process of signing a memorandum of agreement with them, because we believe that there are certain competencies that the Department of Health has that we don't have, and they've agreed on a whole range of issues like providing us with doctors and all that. But there's an MOU that is to be signed, because the law says it's a requirement to mitigate and make sure that we don't do something that is outside. In terms of education, Section 41 of the Correctional Services Act says we will provide and render programs and services, including education, to offenders. The dilemma is that my child in the community is allowed to go to school up to the age of 16, 17. In Correctional Services, I've got a matriculant that is 5 years old, and I allow them in a school. I allow them in a class 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. So there are those dilemmas that we have to deal with, because the Department of Education will be there and say, okay, fine, we are taking over education, but they have to be below 18. That will then leave us with a dilemma. We take them to day school, whether they are 25 or 26, we try. Okay, we also have our own to say that at least these ones must go to AMET, but these ones must go to school. But they are over the prescribed age. So those are the dilemmas that needs to be discussed, and we look at the law and we say what then works in this situation. Coming back to the issue of the investigation, we are not the only ones that are investigating. Remember the inspecting judge also have that jurisdiction to also investigate. And also because there were crimes that were committed specifically on the Malawi team, there are also such investigations. So maybe those would also at least, but as I said, for me, it doesn't rule out the possibility later on when one sees all these investigations to determine whether there's a need to have a broader investigation around the law. But at the moment, that is what it is, the first investigation, the judiciary, the inspecting judge, and also the us on site in this investigation. I'm going to request colleagues to assist with the other Mokwena on the uniform issue and Mokwena on parole and then on the control rules, because I think the control room that the minister was referring to is the control room that deals with electronic monitoring, which is something different from the law control rooms and what they were intended for. But Mulbega will then add a little bit more detail on that one. Thanks, Chair.
Before you run away, it's not so easy. You know, Mr. Makagula, very colorful character. He said you can't be here with the person and say it's going to rain sometime in the future. You must be able to say it's going to rain tonight. So you can't say you're going to appoint the CFO sometime. Please can you be specific where you're going to make this appointment? I think that's the point you're making.
No. The minister said before the end of the month, the panel group said ministers have been identified who are members of the panel. What we are grappling with now is the diaries of these ministers that have been identified. So ministers said before the end of the month, they would expect for interviews, which would give us a December to process, and hopefully January for the assumption of duty. That is our best bet for now, citizens.
Perhaps on the for the member on the education, I don't think it's a problem. It's a special environment where you can't really walk in and walk out. We've got enough problems with our own members, smuggling and so forth. Telling the situation of a fireman and finding what is that can only be from a fire member. And I consider it the most atrocious is where a member gives an inmate a firearm who can shoot not another inmate, which is very bad, but to shoot a colleague. Because in order for you to escape, you must shoot another colleague. And you have given the person. So there is that problem. So it's a controlled environment, including, therefore, impeaching. I think what the Act says is quite clear. Section 41 says the Department of Correction must provide or give access to a full range of programs and activities, including need-based programs as is practical to meet the education and training needs of sentenced offenders. So it's an obligation not dependent on this minister saying to speak about education, this one is number or whatever. It's what the law requires, that you must provide that. And I think the relationship and the program that we have with the basic education is very good. Because they come in, the teachers, they come in, others then choose to be the auto second, and others then decide to join the corruption services and concentrate more on each other and less join the corruption services. Therefore, work on the correctional service hospital and health.
But it's quite clear the teaching is done according to syllabus and is best done by a trained educationist and seconded by the Department of Basic Education, or who sometimes turn up to actually take a full-time job as a cultural officer rather than being a teacher out there in Google.
Chairperson, Minister, and Acting Commissioner, Honourable Member, just in short, the question of the control room, I just wanted to emphasize that the control room that the Minister was referring to on the 11th of November that will be not launched but demonstrated to the public is the national control room where all the electronic monitoring offenders can be on in one room. In other words, we have currently 747 parolees who are having this tag. So if you are sitting in that room, you can monitor them, you can focus into everyone, so that will be demonstrated on Monday, so I'm not going into that final detail, but that is the program that Minister was referring to. In terms of the control group of Sondole, it was a small number of correctional centers, which was part of a contract allocated to that service provider, which had a beginning date and an end date, and we're also aware, and the committee will know that you cannot just extend the contract every time. So that contract period left, and therefore the difference between the two, the one was for access control at the correctional center, vis-à-vis the other one that Minister referred to as the National Control Room for Electronic Monitoring. Therefore, in terms of the parole, I'm not going to give a long explanation, I'll try to just summarize it. In terms of correctional services, Section 54 is a section that deals with data roll. Data roll is normally used for those offenders who are serving very long sentences, who, as they are saying, they are already institutionalized in terms of their stay behind bars. We normally find it that when a license has been released, that those will go to that data roll center, as well as those who have sent sentences, long sentences, 13 years and more. In terms of the act, a person on day parole is still regarded as a sentence offender. In other words, he's sitting within the center and during the day he will be allowed to go out. Chairperson, in terms of this people, we have roughly plus minus 100 nationally currently and on a day-to-day basis, because they are for a short period under day parole, normally not longer than 6 months. It's just a phase between the center as well as the incarceration, the reintegration into the community. Now, I know the question is raised why they must have work. Chairperson, the reason in the policy formulation is that they are wearing private clothes. We cannot allow them just to go and walk in the streets up and down. We are assisting them to find jobs for them. The type of job is normally not that important, but it must be a job, and we allow them also the hours that they are working. For example, if you start 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening, we will allow them out 1-2 hours before time and give them again time afterwards. The latest addition that we are also considering and which we are implementing, if those offenders who serve that long period are still posing a type of a risk, you add now electronic monitoring. In other words, then you make sure that there are inclusion and exclusion zones. So if this person needs to work from Baltimore at Goodwood, you're just giving permission on that electronic monitoring system just to move almost the shortest route from Baltimore to Goodwood and back. So if he's going outside those parameters in the national control room, we can see as soon as he moves out, there will be alarm. That is what Minister will demonstrate next week. So here, that is in short. This day parole is really to make sure that this offender is, we are installing this different, not in the control environment, but different environment to start to reintegrate into society. And I know this question was also asked during the previous session, and the most known case is the case of Faki, which is still continuing. And let me also add, in terms of after about the first month, Jefferson, we will relax it more in the sense that the offender will also be given a weekend off, where he can leave the center on a Friday
go back to his home and come back on the Monday to go to work. So in that process we are really facilitating the reintegration in society.
Chris, I think the question is more fundamentally than Mr. Makakula is asking. Somebody that's living within walking distance or reasonable distance from his home or his community, that's fine. What about somebody who's also eligible for day help, but his home is a few minutes in Clarkson, and he's a resident janitor? Are you free transporting from Janitor to Clarkson? Because there's no facility, I'm using Clarkson specifically, because that Clarkson and Potter's Room area have no prison, no correctional center facility. The nearest would be Rustenburg, you go one way, it would be Johannesburg if you go one way, it would be Kimberley if you go the other way. That inmate, is he then treated differently to somebody who's in Portsmouth and he lives in Mitchell Place? Because that is easily, I think that's the question that he's asking. How do you handle those incidents?
Let me be practical. If we're using the last example of Mr. Sutton, he was serving his sentence in Worcester. So at Worcester, the parole board have given him then the state parole, and then we transfer it to the nearest center. What we can also assure the committee chair is that state parole cannot be used against a person if there is not a correctional center close to that one. Therefore, we use it where practical possible, but it will not be that we are saying we cannot release it because it's not a lack of things. We have examples also where just certain parts of a correctional center is being utilized for this category of offenders. And it's also a small number, and we really try here to make sure that I'm not aware of anyone that is being deprived that opportunity because of a center. So we really try to assist them. But I'm saying it's a small number currently or over the years. Even from the Peace Correctional Service as it was there, it's never a large number because of the category they must serve a long sentence, and it's just for that breaking period.
Thank you.
All right.
Uniform
and ID
cards. Yes.
Thank you, Minister. In terms of the current act, which is specifically by saying a person on lay parole is regarded as a sentenced offender, that almost makes it not possible to use other facilities. But as soon as this person is then released on parole, then the reporting will be different. Thank you, Minister.
Okay.
Honourable Minister, Chairperson, members and National Commission. The issue of uniform is in the purview of the ministerial task team. It does not necessarily form part of the agenda of the ministerial task team. And the simple reason there too is that it is something that right at the beginning we agreed that this is something that we have to do. There has to be uniform provided for members. And in that regard, I again report that a request for proposal of some of the items of uniform went out, and the closing date was in the middle of October. So all the necessary supply chain processes will be followed in terms of the procurement of uniform for members. Insofar as the issue of the access card, there was a pilot that started in head office, and the minister officially launched the ID card for officials. And the intention really behind launching it ahead of it from a current point of view was to determine, you know, that's where you have the risk. So that if this thing does not work going forward, you can then continue it. But in terms of the project plan going forward, we are then aiming to launch it in housing, element and the rest of the other six regions. So that process is on track. And we should be completed at the end of the next financial year. That, Chairperson, is as far as those two issues are concerned.
Thank you, sir. Here is Sula
Rokasme. Chairperson. Honourable Minister, as you can correctly recall,
I think it was your first budget speech in the Guru Chamber where I actually questioned you that if you want to make some inroads in this department, that you have to institute a body to investigate this HR problems. Therefore, I would like to congratulate you for your ministerial capacity. And that actually gives some sort of assurance that you are serious with your view that this year was your year of the position. However, as you all know, that I was also for 27 years in the public sector. And what is important for a uniform person and any other employee is if there's clear career progress policies, if there is increments, if these are issues, you know, are being addressed, and if there's proper leadership. That is important for any subordinate within the context of correctional services, police, or other uniform awareness departments. You have mentioned in your report, which you actually consulted us today or informed us from, your last sentence before the bullet points, today the ministerial task team managed to resolve the following issues. So I take it, the word resolve is these issues mentioned here have been finalized. And I hope that we are not going to get some sort of rhetoric that it is work in progress. Because work in progress is a terminology lazy officials use not to perform. So I would love to accept those words, manage to resolve the following issues. And you give us a range of issues. But I would like to ask you as to this 3%. Your first bullet point is the payment of outstanding pay progression less than 3%. And then obviously you refer to payment of pay progression for social workers. What is the difference between those two? The reason why I'm asking this permanent question is that we get questions about these things and we want to be feedback in a proper, professional, clear manner. Then down the line, you mentioned payment of overtime for nurses. What about the overtime for the other field? How far is that proceed? My recollection, I think there was a huge outcry about a huge number of overtime payments which was not dealt with. Then if you forward down the line, then you mentioned here non-implementation of agreements, for example, memorandum of understanding, settlement agreements of 2005 brackets. Now, I have forwarded a number of questions with regards to arbitration awards. And as I indicated previously, it was clear before you come to the party that this department was really managed by arbitration. The dispute resolution mechanisms, not by management, but through those channels. And there was a number of outstanding awards in favor of organized labor and officials, which the department didn't implement. But some of them were actually, is their right, if you dispute the outcome, to take them into review. So we would love to know what is the situation, because there's no mention about it. That 7-day establishment, which my honourable colleague Mabakula referred to as well as honourable Winnie, is there, we all know, it's a problem. We know it. A case, assault, gang fight, as a result of this minimum skeleton staff during 30 days and hours. So the organized labor, hospital as well as PSA, they complain every year with the input to your budget, complain about it. When is the cutoff date? There is no cutoff date. And as I said in the beginning, you said you managed to resolve it. So I assume
Then there's a couple of things that this thing is going to be fixed once more. Then payment, your last bullet, for payment of translation into group 1 learners to correct notches, ring fence students 2008. I also would like to know whether that one, as well as all the others that I referred to, Minister, was as a result. The reason why I'm asking is, I think 2 weeks ago, all the last people were here in person of Pop Crew as well as PSA. And both of those entities or parties and your partners in service delivery raised their concern about the legitimacy of the entity. And it is for that particular reason why I'm going to ask you, as the mandate giver, as the Honourable Minister responsible for the department, that although you delegate the function to the department to have the responsibility to implement these things lies with you who executed that mandate. You know, there's a letter phrase which they call delegated, non delegated context. So, their responsibility as the state versus, sorry, the South African Rugby Union versus the President of South Africa. You can't delegate, but the responsibility is yours. So, will you give this committee the understanding and the commitment that what is there, what is mentioned in this report, has been done with properly and has been implemented? If not, is there a date for the implementation? The other issue which is not mentioned here is your second phase OSD. And as I mentioned earlier, the message is oversight of all of these, as well as the translation of correctional officials who have been appointed as artisans to the OSG for correctional officials. And as you know, and vice versa, this department has a very serious problem with artisans. Broken windows, everything needs to be fixed via public works. And if you look, go and visit your factories where they actually manufacture the furniture and stuff, the training in terms of the white paper, and the artisans there, it's a few, they are responsible to safeguard it, and they are responsible to train it. There's no additional one who says, I'm getting paid to safeguard them, and the other one, I'm just teacher and artisan to trade. They have to execute both of those responsibilities, but they get less in a standard official. Is there any plan to address, because it's not in here? And this is the issue which really affects service delivery and performance of officials in our department. Minister, do you agree? Are you supporting the fact that officials who by invitation or not talk to the portfolio committee, this extension of parliament, and they raise issues during this intimation, and then afterwards they have been victimized by darkness? Do you support that attitude? It's a total undermining of the authority of this portfolio committee. And then we ask you, of course, we're going to talk. We visited Kalaka Busha, and after we left, I get emails and SMSs that they are now in under investigation before they talk to the portfolio committee. That's an undermining of parliament and the freedom of speech and association. The Kimberley issue, Honourable Minister, that was one of the first instances when we actually approached the department to say, institution investigation. And there was a generic complaint across the organization, Popcrew, APSA, and all the members, about the area of Mr. Joseph. His attitude, his political creation, which he used in managing the transfer of these people. So we did not get any feedback with regard to this particular issue. Allocation, honorable minister, of staff, the recruitment of staff, depends currently on the allocated beds to our centers. It's correct. There's a number of beds, and then you recruit accordingly to address that particular capacity, which is under normal circumstances. But as you are aware, we are about 200% overcrowded. Is there any place? Because that affects the ratio between officials and inmates. Because that official ratio which you budget doesn't exist anymore. And I think for years already. Is there any plan that you also amend that strategy to make provision for this overcrowd? You know, so that we can eliminate the risk, because it increased the risk factor within your partner. Minister, yet another serious thing. It also comes with...
No, I know what you're going to say, but I'm not going to allow you. If you just allow it, just warn you that you've got about 10 questions already.
Because it's not always different that you have to appoint the talk to the minister. I just want to ask you, honorable minister, I talked to you about it in the budget speech. And we are sitting with this court case with the outcome on the 18th of October. The 10 officers in the racing case who actually took your department to the Rental Court claiming that your department discriminated against colors as well as one white person. Now there was the outcome. You also mentioned to me during my reply on your budget speech that this was also part and parcel of your MDT is going to investigate that as well. But I didn't notice any reference to it. But I accept the fact that it was maybe because it was a subject under judicial adjudication. So letting it out and this judgment indicated that there was indeed discrimination towards colors in the Western case. We have this judgment, and I'm also aware that solidarity appealed on certain grounds, but not on that one who found discrimination. Now I know what an appeal implies. If you appeal, it suspends any other thing. But in this instance, it was the appeal is not towards the full judgment. Now my question, is there any place to adjust your equity claim to address what was found wrong? Thank you so much.
Honorable Minister, members of the International Commission. Let me try and deal with and just club some of the issues together. The issue of the legitimacy of the party, I think the response there is that the task team met on the 28th of October. And in that meeting, very key decisions were taken by task team members, both corporate and they were together at the very senior level, as they have been throughout. One was that there are a number of issues, Mr. that in our view as a task team, they also include the Department of Public Service and Administration from a policy point of view. One is the issue of promotion policy. As the National Commissioner mentioned earlier on, with the advent of the OSD for various job categories within the government, you actually did away with promotion, the text-based promotion that was there. What you currently have is what you call grade progression, which occurs on a biannual basis, subject to satisfactory level of performance. Now, with that method being in place, what the health team has understood is that, one, from a correctional point of view, we do accept that the time period or the turnaround where one would be promoted to a higher level is perhaps too long. But we know and we accept that because this falls within the purview of the policy department, because all matters related to human resource management within government are in the purview of the Department of Public Service Administration. And therefore, from our mandate point of view, it is not something that we can take and implement. But what we can do is to approach the Department of Public Service and Administration with our proposal. In fact, it is something that we have done in terms of the payment of train progression against 3%. We did approach the Department of Public Service and Administration, and they do pass in the resolution of that problem. The second issue which demonstrates the close partnership that we have with DPSA was the issue of the extension of the educator resolution form. It was participation, active participation of DPSA, we were then able to craft a document which is applicable to Department of Correctional Services and was ratified via the Department of Public Service and Administration. So what the task is not Department of Correctional Services, but the task is resolved on the 28th, was that the following issues were then going to be raised with the DPSA. One is the issue of the promotion policy. There is a draft that has been put in place by one of the task team members. The issue of the second phase of OSD, because what we have currently implemented, the first phase of OSD has been implemented, but what we have currently, the reason why we're not implementing the second phase of OSD is due to the implementation directive that was received. And that is a matter that is currently a matter of in the court between ourselves and organized labor. The third issue that we also agreed to take up with DPSA was the issue of the artisans. In terms of the OSD for artisans, one is that we implemented OSD for artisans, but that as a department, there is a sense that our artisans are different to other artisans. For instance, if you take your artisans within the Department of Correctional Services, they are also expected to walk out in the pen, so they are carrying dual roles. And so from that perspective, there is a need to take into account that portion. But we are saying as a task team, this is not something that we are going to just implement because it then would be committing something illegal, because it's not something that we can just do as a task team and present it to the minister and say minister implemented it, because it would be unimplementable in that sense. So I just needed to clear up those couple of issues to say. It is not that because they are not reported here that the task team has forgotten about them and the task is no longer dealing with them. On the 28th, we took a decision to say these are matters that we would want to deal with DPSA, with the involvement of DPSA because they are recording. The other issue that was raised is around what is the difference between pay progression and pay professional social worker. In simple terms, what had happened with the pay progression that Peter said was that you had implemented the pay progression, but because of the translation code that were in place, certain people were not given the full 3%, but were given up to 2.5%. And that is what we had to resolve, as I said, with the active participation and cooperation and assistance of DPSA. Whereas with the social workers, we implemented that and there were no harm there. The issue of overtime for nurses. Indeed, we have implemented overtime for nurses. There is no difference. All that we are saying as a department is that overtime, where persons work overtime at the end of the month, and they are found to work either 40 hours if you are an ancestor base and 45 hours if you are a center base, then you are eligible for overtime. I can give you an example of payment of overtime for people who are currently deployed within the Mahaung as part of the task team. The standard operating procedure is that where you require overtime, there is a request which is sent to the deputy commissioner,
for human resource management, who then approves the overtime. So the question is, do we pay overtime in the department? The answer is yes. There is overtime which is paid for members, where circumstances allow. What we are currently in dispute with, is, and matters is discussed, is the issue of the fixated overtime. That is what we are currently discussing within the trustee. So that distinction needs to be made. The Group 1 payment has been analyzed. We paid approximately 98 million and the translation of Group 1 from level 3 to level 5. So that matter has been finalized. I'm trying to recall all these other questions that Mr. Chairman
is asking about them. You were just asking them because they have, I think, one is the U.S. Minister support victimization of officials if they speak to Parliament. I take that as an example. Then there's the issue about the Kimberley official using his party affiliation. Then the other one is that the way that we work out the organogram is based on the capacity. Yes, we know that as we speak, the capacity is 200% overcrowded. What happens in that instance? Because it affects the inmate official ratio. And then the final one, is there anything that you are going to do in response to the court case raised in Western End?
Let me deal with the issue of the government court case. I think the first principle that we need to address is that the matter by...
Sorry, Mr. McQuillan, I'm just looking at time. We still have one more member that wants to speak, and you guys... I'm just asking if you could wrap it up, because the minister will still have to choose the final, and we've got about 20 minutes. So I'm just appealing on both sides that we get to the point.
The issue of the employment equity case is that by virtue of the other party having filed an appeal, but two, by virtue of the fact that the department is currently studying the judgment, because it is quite a serious judgment that you can't just go into it and without having properly evaluated the judgment. We regard the judgment for the matter as being adjudicated, because the other party has activated the June process that is applicable to them instead of the law. So we respectfully would submit that we will not be able to talk further on the matter for the reasons of advantage.
All right.
Okay.
On the last issue that from one analyst of Western Cape, safe to say that on matter of equity, we support that in conscience there should be a modern. There should be no discrimination, there should be no one who feels that they are being discriminated. Therefore, we really support that. The comments of Antina Kanza after judgment. It was a Solomonic judgment. It was quite balanced and that is fine. But on those things that we need to do, and to be simply doing, we're going to ensure that whether we are in the state, whether we are in the Bongo, there is seen to be equity, and we support that principle across the board, so that members should be free to be seen if this thing is not going well. This was not according to marriage, this was according to race or whatever it is. We want this partner to be a model in terms of that, because it's a correct thing and a good thing to do, not because we want to favor anybody. So, and then on the other principal matter of intimidation,
you must move away from police force and instead of a defense force, because they must use force if you call it a defense, but police service, correctional service, with emphasis on rehabilitation and so on. But of course, force will be used, but force will be used if a person continues with their wayward ways. But within the inmates themselves, we really encourage that they should be able to lay their complaints and they should be heard by the head of center right up to the commissioner, right up to the minister. Better know the members. The members should not feel that invitation. It's their right to express whatever and so forth. But we wouldn't like a situation where people say they fear to express, because what if they're able to improve our own conduct, and there are things that we know nothing about, corruption that we know nothing about, but because people fear, they are complacent, and sooner or later it becomes a bomb. And therefore it doesn't really serve us to have some people living in fear, yes, Mr. and yes, Commissioner, and so forth. It doesn't have say, express the thing properly, and let them be addressed. So we're not in favor, we're not in favor of anyone intimidating anyone, and we'll look at all those issues in a proper way. Yeah. But I think there was some people already commented.
Well, what we just need to share is that the process of finalizing the organogram, which by extension will also talk to the issue of the staff inclusion, started last year and is about to be finalized, because we need to. You would recall that when we started in May last year, when the process of creating three core functions and units, demand detention, incarceration and collection, as well as community collection, everything then had to flow from there. So the initial assumption that we made about the staffing ratio, of course, have to be reviewed. And I think I also need to quote that within the task team, organized labor has actually given themselves until the end of December to provide input into that process. To say we have a stake in this thing, and we think that we want to make an input to the department as you finalize your starting ratio.
You're wrong about this, okay. Yes.
So, thanks, Chairperson.
I'll start by thanking the Minister for the presentation he has given us. And also to say that, yes, indeed, it should not be shy. The aim of the Minister is delivered. From Comrade Ndonda, North Rio, and now it's Comrade Boom. You can see it delivered with our eyes. We applaud them for the good work that they are doing. Yes, they are challenges. Because I was just telling when I was presenting, because I don't wish people too much. When did we have the first prison in South Africa? Because they have been telling us. Massive shortage of faith in us in this country. That is why I'm saying this minister from the ELC are doing a good job. Because we see changes. I was going to relate a story, but now the time is just. But, you know, there's a guy from Nigeria, Samuza Matrizi. We're doing a kind of one. It was someone from a very poor family, but they doesn't mean that he should see. He stole something from another kiln in Gary, near the Eroska. He was given 8 months at the time to the retired center. He served 8 months. He never went back to school from this day. I only saw him last year. When I asked him, what have you seen? He said, hey, I was in and out, in and out, in and out. What do you have with you? See, my name is Morton inside, at home. Because we must not shake. He says, I've got nothing. I don't know what to do. I don't have a place to sleep. I can't find work. I just came with only one thing. I can speak Afghan only. You can't write, that's the thing. So this thing of access to education, it is very important. Well, very important. It is very important. It means that this man, because he is in the system now, it's from there. It's a useful to feel okay. You don't have to do that, you must get more funds for education. Then the issue of gratuity. I think this one means that we must look at it really carefully. Because when you visit a center, there's a complaint. Like it is too little. You need to do something on that one. Then on the issue of chairperson review, you see, many people sometimes forget. There are reports that the one our minister is talking about, of which I'm not aware of them. Not the exception of the meeting that we had with that in Galarabos. But the report that was given to us complaining about the upstream as a report, I'm not saying I don't have it, but I don't remember seeing it. The reason why I'm raising this chairperson, we should not stay in the hands of the media. Fortunately, in the side of the ANC, we are not promoted by media. We do the work. I never saw that support. Meaning that we need to look at it and discuss it. Because those people that you're talking about, I can come with my story, I'm coming from the province, of which I'm not prepared to do it here. I'll do it in the community. What is it actually happening in the corner of us? And also, we must get a feedback from our oversight at the moment. What are the developments of this state now? Because we cannot criticize all the time. As if there are people who are going to get a person out of his position. That is the politics to take part in the government, if you want to know. It's our politics to work on the side. If I get rid of you, I do fancy. I recommend that you market as a positive factor, as a committee. You can't just say, allegations, allegations, when you come into the end of the year. You must get both sides of the story.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with my colleagues that we must fix things. I was the one who was leading the delegation of Zelobi and Kimberly Esther, the day mentioned by my colleague. What I should say, Minister, we would like as this portfolio a finding. If there was an investigation about the official that is mentioned and the accusations against him. Because to my understanding that day, people were throwing up accusations to one another, even the Labour movement, one was saying that and the other movement was saying that to one another. And they were accusing a regional commissioner who was even not even. And we got to with them, who didn't even meet with the staff at that time, and they were accusing her of things that she has done, but she didn't mess with them. At the time that they were saying, she was saying that to them in a meeting and saying that to them and saying this, and she was so distant. She asked, just give me 2 minutes to respond, please, because I was summarizing and closing the meeting, because the meeting was heated. And she asked, please allow me, and I allowed her. And she asked, when did you meet with me? Some of you are seeing me now for the first time. When did I say that to you? Lie. I'm not going to be called out today in the portfolio committee. Human racism is still alive in the country. The legacy has left us. The black with that, and we are not going to promote it. And everything, I think, Minister, you are best placed to know how to implement the equity. Nobody will teach you about that. Because the NMT is here to stay. It has no racial life aligned with it. But it is equity, an equity of women. We are not going to be played against one another. Because we are colored Indian black, one black race.
And we are not going to allow anybody, and I mean anybody.
You have 1 minute.
Say yes, evidence. It's a sensitive matter of racism. It's not of racism. We must act against it. Everybody, everybody's business. Not to allow racism to come among sensitive issues that are placed against us. So the minister, please, at the meeting, must give you the findings of that report so that the minister can be empowered and also we can benefit out of that report. What are the relevant issues? Because I can from where I'm sitting, I don't know what is the issue there, but I'm not going to reveal it now. Yes, that's a great problem, but hope that I can speak out about that.
No, thanks for the answer. No, I wanted to say this thing. I heard another member talking about the recent of the minister casting that the PSN report raised the concern.
I want to call it.
They never raised the question of the meeting. They were complaining about the meeting that they were not having meeting. They don't know the feedback. But now when we went to go through this report, very clear that they know these things. They are eight here. They are eight here. Not only one meeting, we want to say what we are talking about of the 28th. A number of meetings have taken place. Even if we should be careful with what we talk about.
One thing is very clear, Minister. We don't have to call you back. Because not because you're not answering questions, but for our legacy report. This meeting was so useful. So we're going to have to call back and deal with these things because we need to write a legacy report so that whoever takes over next year has this thing. I think we're going to have another session. Again, just another open everything session. So members didn't feel agreed. You have another bite to say before we arrive at the end of this term. I assure you, Minister, did agree that you will abandon himself. We'll still work out the details as well, but it's some other type of meeting. So thank you, Minister. In responding to whatever, we'll also have to give your own closing remarks if you have to, for 5 minutes. And of course there are many other questions that we would want to have raised, but time is very against that, so we're happy that you are making an undertaking that we can call you for another open session at some point where we can deal with these matters. So I'll hand over to you. You're really in the main comments, shipping the gratuity issue. But you are now free to have your closing remarks and to conclude. After that, the meeting will adjourn formally.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Indeed, the issue of the gratuity, Minister, is a fact. It's very little. And as budget committee, we'll be discussing that in our next meeting. We are planning to review the gratuity. And maybe just briefly on the Kimberley matter, indeed there was an investigation on the Jefferson. And yes, the report can be shared, but I can't say in this meeting that there was no substance that was found on the allegations against the area commissioner. And you only find that it's issues of personalities and that was the process that of dispute resolution that has to be facilitated by head office, because the substance in terms of the issues that were mentioned of racism and harassment and whatever, there was no substance that was found by the investigation. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity, and thanks to the members for a very valuable input, and will be at your call to come and discuss other substantial issues. There are difficult issues that you were not dealt with. One of them is around all the issues I think we need to, as part of the legacy of 20 years, to actually have a clean formulated position on it. The cases will never be the same. However, there's a sort of a common understanding of what happened to whom, why, and what was it. So that, I think we welcome really that opportunity. We want the department to be an equalizer, to have really equal opportunities. One is happy with the work, two, it takes
on account of each of the trainees. And it's really very encouraging to see them when they are graduating. And the inculcation of a new ethos of service, of quality, when you are an inmate, whether you are Nelson Mandela or some vagabond guy, it's the same minimum. It's sort of very equalizing. And it should also reflect in the correctional officials to be able to keep people on the value of what they are portrayed in rather than where they come from, what they have, and so forth. And I think therefore the department has got really quite a huge potential. And this one on education, we are going to be pursuing it with rigor to ensure that people study, come out with a scheme on one side and a certificate on the other, so that there is a difference in what Mr. Taylor is talking about. Come in, nothing happens. When you come in, there must be a difference, and we always do, making South Africa safe and feel safe to do that. Thank you very much.
Shall I have a meeting? See you tomorrow in the same venue for